Let's give a big hand of praise for Pastor Kurt. Amen. God is doing something great in his life and through his family. And I just am very grateful for all that God is doing throughout all of us anyhow, with that being said. I want to welcome the little peanut again here. It's a beautiful thing to see, you know, the growth in Michelle, how she was able to handle a lot of trials that came to her, especially when, you know, God brings in his glory into the world, you know, and enemy doesn't want it, and he always tries to attack us with lies, and through the truth, she was able to battle the lies, and they're still trying to come, you know, through other sources, but we know the truth, and the truth is always the what sets us free, and so I want you to continue to pray for her as she continues to walk in her faith and believes all things are possible for those who love God. Amen? Amen. I'm going to begin to move in a series. We've broken the ice, actually, on, I guess you would say, Easter, or the week before Easter. On Good Friday, we began to break the ice. And our ministry, as most of you know, is a ministry that was born in glory. It has been born and birthed in the realm of glory. And not many individuals understand what exactly is the realm of glory. And this happened 20 years ago. And believe it or not, we've been basking and soaking and living in the realm of glory for 20 years. And it's just now, I believe, God is beginning to open up the eyes of those who truly are seeking to know him. And to know him in the way of the realm of glory, the truth, is really where our salvation is. It's the life. And to not come into, I believe, out of darkness and into the light in this hour. And I want to say that it really is called the second coming of Christ. And people out there are, because they have been told through their understanding and based on their knowledge, was called an understanding of what the second coming of Christ was. And they're all expecting a white horse coming out of the sky, and Jesus coming back riding this white horse, and Jesus coming back for his saints, and the dead are going to rise, and all this other stuff, and have this big rapture thing going on, and all that. When the reality of the truth is, that's not going to happen. I hate to break it to you, but that's not going to happen. The second coming of Christ is coming through what is called revelation. It's coming through grace, which is called knowledge. And we are saved by grace. Try to follow me and understand what is being said. We are saved by grace. We're not saved by anything else other than grace. There is a tradition going into the Christian world that salvation is through Jesus Christ and things of that nature. And as we said earlier, you know, and I have to make this totally clear, Jesus is my brother, he's my friend, he's my Lord, I guess you can say, as a brother in Christ. He is a savior in the sense that of what he has brought to us. But he was also a sign and a wonder and a miracle. That's what Jesus was. He was a sign, a wonder, and a miracle. And I want to share some things with all of us so that they can begin to understand truth. Because he says, in the last days, true worshipers will be worshiping in spirit and in truth. And we're looking for true worshipers. And so I want us to open up our hearts, open up our minds, begin to understand this realm that we're entering in. It's not by accident that we're called glory to the nations. Okay? And I want to give us a knowledge of the glory. Glory is not a presence of the Holy Spirit. Glory is not a manifestation of signs and wonders and miracles. Glory is a knowledge of Christ. Glory is a denying of the will. Jesus was considered the King of glory, and he was able to master and overcome the flesh and come into the Spirit of God, the divine nature, Christ. And because of that, he knew the realm of glory, and the light of God shined through him. And in that, the presence of God was manifesting itself to confirm the word that was being spoken, the word that was made flesh, the Spirit of God. Now, to understand this revelational knowledge, to understand grace, because we are saved by grace, we're not saved by anything other than grace. God has delivered and taken away the sins of the world well prior to Jesus' coming. The problem is they didn't realize that their sins were forgiven, so they were based on works. They were taking animals and they were sacrificing them and shedding, I want to call it artificial blood. And then Jesus came to bring truth, to show that there is no more remission of sin, that your sins have already been forgiven. Salvation isn't in the forgiveness of sin. This is like old manna, and it's time to move on. And that's what Jesus was saying to the church in that hour. He says, I'm the Lamb that's coming, and I'm the one that's going to be the sacrifice in the carnal nature of man, in that carnal realm, so that you can see with your eyes a sign, a wonder, a miracle. God was showing us through the man Jesus a sign, a wonder, and a miracle. How many people are beginning to understand this? And what God is God is a spirit. The world and us need to begin to understand that God is a spirit, and he spoke through us in a mystery. And not only did he speak to us through a mystery, because he says only an eye could see and an ear could hear, but he used carnal, natural things for spiritual understanding and spiritual meaning. So he had to send the man, Jesus, to take on the form of a lamb, yielded his will, yielded his life down, yielded himself to God to show you the way, to show you the realm of glory. The realm of glory, if you truly want to be a child in the realm of glory, in the last days, he says he's going to pour out his spirit, and we are going to operate in the realm of glory. But before we can even operate in the realm of glory, we need to understand what glory is. And so when he laid his life down, he was entering into the realm of glory. And he rose in the spirit. You have to understand the natural and how God made the natural in a sign, a wonder, and a miracle. Okay? And signs and wonders and miracles still exist. But we need to realize signs, wonders, and miracles are the way God is communicating to us. Signs and wonders and miracles are really for the unbelievers to believe. And God used a man to lay his life down, to show a sacrifice that sin has already been forgiven. Because he desired no more blood sacrifices. He didn't desire sacrifices anymore. He wanted to get across to the world that their sin does not exist anymore. How many people realize that sin doesn't exist anymore? Now, we create sin. I'm going to tell you right now, we create sin. We create sin. Sin doesn't exist in the eyes of God. We create it, and I'm going to tell you how we create it. You have a conviction on your heart, right? That conviction tells you to go or not to go. And when you don't obey that conviction, then what happens is you entertain, I want to call it a seed of sin. It's not quite sin yet. This is all in, I think Romans, somewhere in that area. I could give you a scripture verse later if you want to. So then when you entertain it, it gives birth to sin. We spoke a message about this a long time ago. You can go into our archives and find it. But it births sin, and then it becomes sin. But I'm not talking about sin today. I'm talking about glory and understanding what glory is, because God's desire was for us to move beyond, past sin and to come into grace. See, Jesus came to do away with sin, the knowledge of sin. He came to put away sin. And said, God doesn't see sin no more, but you can birth sin. So be careful. Don't birth sin. Obey the conviction, follow the law written on your heart, and be without sin. And in that, he says, now it's time to come into salvation. Salvation is given to us through grace. And we need to understand what grace is. Grace is what Jesus was trying to bring. Grace was the message that Jesus was trying to say to the church. What amazes me is it's taking 2,000 years for us to even hear what Jesus' message was trying to be told to the church. For some reason or another, the church is still stuck on sin. When God is saying we are saved by grace, and we are to come into a place called glory. Now, glory, like I said before, is not a sign, a wonder, or a miracle. There are a lot of ministries out there that are beginning to start to understand what glory is, and they're holding glory conferences, and they're holding, you know, glory meetings, and they're doing this, and they're doing that with glory, and you know, and manifestations of signs, wonders, and miracles are showing themselves because God is trying to speak to them. He's trying to get their heart to dig deeper and understand the realm of the Spirit and awaken and get them to understand what the true realm of glory is. The true realm of glory is, for one, the denial of the will. How many of us want to walk in glory? I mean, a glory that the light shines and darkness has to flee. A realm of glory to where the presence of God is encamped around you and you have a peace that surpasses all understanding and you're free. And you know you have eternal life. You know you have salvation. Death lost its sting. And that glory, for one, is a way of life. To be in the glory is to live a life. To be in the glory is to live a life that is denied the flesh. And it says in the Lord's Prayer, and I shared this several weeks ago, of how to pray. And prayer was a character, a way of upholding yourself because God already knows your needs. God already knows your desires. God already knows before you even ask. Amen? So if God already knows your needs and he already knows what you're going to ask before you even ask, then is there even a reason to ask? God is trying to say, I want you to live a life of character, a life that understands the truth, the life that will allow you to walk this way. And the way of life to walk is like a mirror image of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done, not your will be done. Thy will be done. And so when to understand the glory is to understand a life transformation. And there also is another thing that is connected with the glory. And I remember saying this a long time ago. Know who you are. Know who you are. Because we are children of God. And he has given us a seed of righteousness, a seed that is planted inside of us. That is, it's time for it to be awakened. And I believe this is the hour that this seed is going to be awakened. And it's being awakened by this word. And this word is awakening a seed, a divine nature of Christ, a life, a Christ life that is inside of us. So that when we live this life, we actually begin to live in a realm of glory. It's supernatural. It's a mystery. And it seems like we've been hearing this for a while, hasn't it? But how many of us are actually walking in it? You see, how many of us have really came to that place of forsaking the world and the things of the world and really putting yourself in a place of sacrificing flesh and coming to a place of realizing that there is no sin and that sin has been washed away? It's a matter of coming into grace. And I've said what grace is a while back. And grace is a knowledge of God, a knowledge of his glory, a knowledge of what he desires, a knowledge of what he expects, a knowledge of holiness, a knowledge of an understanding of the supernatural. And God is calling us and asking us to come up. Come up to this place of glory. Come up. It's almost as if there's an invitation for us to really forsake the flesh, to deny the flesh, and to be able to put all the truth into perspective so our minds are renewed, the nature of God rises up and begins to live inside of us. And it's no longer I that lives, but he that lives within us. There is a truth that needs to be brought, and I believe in this hour is the time, because there's a shortness. It's almost like God has a timetable on certain things, and he's not going to stop and wait for you to be ready. God has a timetable, and it was like no different than he spoke to Noah and said, Noah, build an ark, because I'm going to bring a flood. And you better be ready, because when the flood comes, there's no stopping it. And I believe in this hour right now, God is saying, listen, it's time to build your house and build it in the realm of glory. And you can't say you haven't heard, because if you're hearing my voice right now, you know right now it's time to begin to build your house in glory. To begin to realize that the sin and condemnation is gone because of this thing called Christ. And we've heard Christ for many, many years. We've heard all about it. It's almost like this message has been repeating itself for almost 20 years. But at the same time, our ears were closed and our eyes were shut. And my prayer is, Lord, open up their ears, open up their eyes, so that they can begin to truly start seeing the divine nature that's living within inside of us and embrace that nature embrace it to the point where they are consumed, and the desires of the world, the flesh of the individual, is forsaken and crucified and denied. You know how hard that is? Do you know how hard it is to sacrifice flesh and to take out the desires of flesh? You know, not many of us really understand what flesh is. The lust, the desires of things. It's a lot of that goes along with what flesh is. Now, Jesus says, I live in the world, but I'm not of the world. I'm going to tell you what is connected with flesh. If you're worrying, if you got fear, uncertainty, if you don't have confidence to know that God will take care of your needs, if you know that if you are lacking a trust and abiding in Him in the sense of everything's going to be okay. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, we all fall short of the glory of God. Okay, we all fall short. I'm subject every day to fall short of the glory. I'm not going to deny that I have mastered the realm of glory. I'm leaning towards it. God is throwing His trials and temptations down on me. But at the same time, my mind is always on Him, and He reveals these things, and I bring myself into submission, and I cast the flesh down. And I don't worry, and I put all my trust in Him. I try not to be anxious in anything. I'm saying these things so that you can use your own life as a guide. Are you anxious for things? Do you have deep desires and wants that are causing troubles in your heart? Then you're living in flesh. Are you giving everything and sacrificing everything to God? If we aren't, then we're not living in the realm of glory, or we're not striving to be in Christ. We're not striving to be in that realm of the kingdom of God. We're not coming into the ark, I want to say. If God is building an ark in this hour, He's asking you to build it along with Him. And if He's going to be flooding the place, let's say, and it's spiritual, I'm talking spiritual, and if God is planning on bringing a flood, are you ready? Are you ready? I want to be able to bring us to a place of knowing that when He does come, our lamps are filled with oil, and we're not caught as if one thief in the night came and we weren't ready. It's like, get your guns ready, you know? Load them and put them up by your pillow. We should be ready for the Spirit of God and what He's about to do in this hour. And I'm going to tell you right now, I see a lot of individuals who have been caught up in the traditions of religion, believe that they have the answer, believe that they know the truth, and their heart has grown cold, and they have went right back into the world with a religious garment on them, not looking to sacrifice their flesh, but looking to put on an image of holiness and a garment of righteousness, but their heart is far from God. Their heart is in the things of the world, the desires of the world, the entertainment, the things that feeds the flesh, I want to call it. Now, I'm not saying that these things are wrong. I'm not saying that these things you can't have. I'm not saying that. But where's your heart? That's the key. You know, our heart should be always connected to Lord willing. Lord willing. I'm laying a foundation real quick on the realm of glory. And God is calling us into the realm of glory. I would hate to see us come to that place where we say to the Lord, but Lord, I did all these things in Your name. But He says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. He knows those in glory. He knows those in Christ. But I thought I was in Christ. I did all these things. I casted out devils in Christ's name, in Jesus' name. I did all these signs and wonders and miracles. I did these things in Your name. I did them. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. That, to me, is a frightening thing. God is calling us to be watchmen. Do we understand what a watchman is? We are to be a watchman, and a watchman is one who is looking for God's fresh word. What is he saying in this hour? What's he doing in this hour? Sometimes we miss it because we have this thing called, I want to say, haughtiness, pride. Heard that, done that, bought the t-shirt. You know, revelation is ever increasing. God is ever increasing. Now, I want to share something with you in Scripture, and I believe I'm going to share it first in John. In John chapter 1, and then we're in the Gospel here, the Gospel of John, okay? John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made." Right there, we all know, I hope, at this point, those that don't know and it's just coming to know God, this is speaking of Christ. But I want you to know it's not speaking about Jesus Christ. It's speaking about Christ. And I want us to begin to start separating the two. We need to discern what is Jesus, man, Christ, Holy Spirit, Christ's divine nature, Christ, a living spirit inside of mankind. Now, before, Christ never dwelt with men. Before Jesus, Christ never dwelt with man. Even though it dwelt with man. That sounds like an oxymoron thing, doesn't it? But it dwelt with man. But the thing that was missing was grace. The revelation. The knowledge of what Christ is. See, you can have something, not know that you have it. Do you have it? Think about it. If you have something and you didn't know you have it, do you have it? You don't have it because you don't know. It's been given to us to know the mysteries. So, for example, let's say I said, and this is not true, this is only hypothetical, just using it as an example, but let's say, Tim, you have cancer. You don't have it. But I'm just going to say that. But you never knew it. So it never really came alive. It was dormant. It was just there. But then let's say you got a checkup from the doctor. And the doctor says, "Oh, Tim, I'm looking at this black spot here," or this light, we're going to call it the light spot today. "And it looks like you have cancer." And if you believe it, next thing you know, this thing starts living. This thing starts coming alive. It starts consuming his body. Well, this is the same thing as Christ. We all had Christ from the beginning of creation, beginning of time. What we didn't have was grace, the grace to tell us that we have this divine nature, this divine light inside of us. And now, because of Jesus, he came out to tell everybody, "Hey, arise and shine, for the glory of God has come upon us." You have the light. So now, we are now starting to be saved by grace because knowledge is coming to us. I have a seed of God. I have a nature of God. I have a divine nature inside of me. I am no longer this old man. I'm going to embrace this. This is what God is pouring out right now. This might seem new to you. But this is nothing new. We've been speaking this for like 20 years. And this seed of Christ is inside of us, and it's a matter of us accepting it. Through grace, receive salvation, receive salvation today. Receive, those that are listening, receive Christ now in your heart. Receive this fact that you have a divine nature of God. Receive. And then begin to dwell on it, meditate on it, water it, grab hold of it, and then deny. Deny the flesh. Deny the fact that you're not alone. Deny the fact that you don't have to worry anymore. Deny the fact that you have a supreme being covering over you, because now we have a Father. The Son of God is Christ, what you just received. That's the Son or the daughter of God. You just received that into you. You just received it. It's not cancer. You don't have to worry about death. You received life. You received life. And now it's a matter of embracing this life. And along with this life comes with a Father, or comes with a supreme being, which is called God. And that one is to take care of us. That one is supposed to instruct us and lead us and guide us into His will to receive inheritances, to receive promises. And those inheritances and promises are really your hopes and dreams. The reason why our hopes and dreams and our life is being robbed is because we really never grabbed hold of this grace. We are trying to create it on our own. We're trying to create it in the will, in the flesh. And it's only coming to a place of destroying itself, because the flesh will never create anything that will last forever. The flesh will create it and it will die. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? And the crazy thing is, the hopes and the dreams are the same as God's. The flesh, what it does is it takes its own power, its own will. It moves before God. It goes after God. It just is all out of whack trying to make something happen when God is just saying, don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry, don't fear. I've planted it in you. I will make it come to pass. I will make it happen. It's the life that I gave you. Embrace it in me, and you will find that this life in me will come. And not only will it come, but it will be everlasting. It will be eternal. I want to share something with you. It says here, in verse 3, let's go off on verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. That's your hopes and dreams. Without him nothing was made. You might strive for it. You might, get a little bit out of it or what have you. Listen, there are times where God might call you into something, and you waited on him, and you did everything that you were called to do, and he closed the door. And it was no longer, available or no longer allowed to go in. It doesn't mean it wasn't God. I'm going to tell you that. Because God showed you and taught you and guided you and led you. So those that are embracing this and have been walking in it, because we've been speaking about hopes and dreams and giving your life to God and letting God, work through those hopes and dreams. Okay? And I want you to don't ever condemn yourselves because of things that you've done. Simple as that. Those that don't know him will probably be tormented and be very upset for the fact that they lost. You see? It's almost like when you do it in God and you know you did it in him, he makes you a big boy and you stop crying over spilt milk. How many people understand that one? It's like you can wipe away your loss and move on. It's like, I lost. Okay, so what? It was just another chapter in my life, and move on. So it says here, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So basically what is happening is because grace didn't come yet, the light dwelt with men, Christ dwelt with men before Jesus even came. But because we were in darkness, because we didn't have the knowledge of grace, we couldn't comprehend it. We couldn't understand it. We didn't know it was there. It said here, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. So basically what happened was before Jesus came, John was inspired to say, oh my God, there's a light that's living inside of us. God inspired him with grace, with a knowledge that this light was living with men. And so what John the Baptist did was he went and he was baptizing with the remission of sin. But then he said, wait a minute, there is no more sin. There's one greater than me coming. He baptized with the Holy Spirit. He baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Not, no more sin. It's now glory. It's now glory and grace. And so John went and began to start proclaiming to the people that, oh, it's not about sin anymore. It's not about sacrificing animals anymore. It's not about sin anymore. It's, yes, there's a washing, and I'm still doing it, but I'm only doing it until he comes. Because he's going to bear witness. He's going to be a witness to the light. And when he witnesses to the light, then you will believe. But it won't come until you believe. This is what God is saying in this hour. Christ is not going to come unless you believe. But it's a different Christ in the sense of what we've been hearing. The first Christ was the one that was supposed to take you away from sin because of the shedding of the blood, in the sense of knowing a relationship with God and that God is going to dwell with man now. But for some reason, I don't think we've ever believed. Because if we believed, we would have went beyond the elements of Christ. We would have went beyond the principles and the foundation of it. We would have went beyond. You hear Pastor Sam speak about the scripture verse all the time. It's about time to put away the basic principles of these things and move on. And so he's saying here that he was not that light, meaning John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. So it's telling you right there that every man, every woman, every child has this light in you. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So as soon as you begin to believe that you have this seed of righteousness inside of you, now, this seed of righteousness isn't going to do anything until the flesh leaves. Now, I'm going to tell you a mystery. Everybody knows oil and water, right? The two don't mix, do they? I'm going to tell you a mystery because people think that they can have Christ and have flesh too. It ain't happening. I'm sorry. It ain't happening. It's not happening. And you can cry out and you can desire it all you want, but if the flesh is still alive, Christ will not rule and reign. It won't. It's no different than taking oil and water and trying to mix them. It isn't going to happen. Which one are you, the water or the oil? I always like to call Christ the oil. I like the thick stuff. I want the good, thick stuff. stuff that when it gets on you, it's hard to wipe off and it don't dry. I want the one that's going to stay there and remain for eternal. And I look at the flesh as water. It's weak. It can dry up. Easy. Easy to get rid of. But you're a cup. And you have, your whole cup is filled with water. Until you believe. And when you believe, all of a sudden a droplet of oil goes into your cup. Bloop. As soon as you believe, a droplet of oil goes into your cup of water. Now it's our job to take the water out. And when you splash the water out, God fills it up with oil. More oil. More oil. And the more you splash that water out, which is the flesh, more oil comes into your cup. More oil. And it's our job to splash the water out of that cup. It's our job to get rid of the flesh. And the way to get rid of the flesh is forsake your life. Tomorrow is a mystery. No one knows how tomorrow is going to unfold. But are we going to worry about tomorrow? Are we going to be afraid about tomorrow? Are our eyes always up in the air looking to say, okay, God, what are you going to do? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to react? And he'll shake in your vessel. He'll move you. He'll stir you up. And if you have this heart, listen, he knows that we're like little children. And he loves it. He says, come to me like a little child. Because when you come to me like a little child, I can really use you. So if you lift your eyes up and you're always asking me which way to go, what should I do, what should I say, what he does is he begins to shake you. And then your heart just knows. At that point, I'm going to tell you right now, we don't make mistakes. Even if our mistakes are wrong, we don't make mistakes. Our rights are wrong and our wrongs are rights, and no matter what it is, it's okay. It's a mystery. Because we're in Christ. Then it says here, I have a lot, so I'm going to try to go through it fast. But as many has received him, he gave them the right to become child of God, to those who believe in his name. And I'm going to tell you, his name is not, and don't have a conniption, don't get mad at me, okay? I'm trying to bring you to the eternal life. It's not Jesus Christ. It's Christ. Okay? And I'm going to share this with you. And I'm going to share something with you in the coming of Jesus when he was born. I'm going to show you the three wise men and the mystery there. It says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So let me repeat this scripture verse again. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, Christ, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That in itself is telling you, those who have believed Christ, the divine nature of God, it's that matter of just receiving. It's as simple as receiving it. And when you receive it, you are not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but you're born of God now. It's that easy. It's like that. Instantly. And we become children of God, sons of God, daughters of God. Then it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. This in itself is the desire of God for us now. Now. It says here, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, Christ's glory. No longer is it I that lives, but he that lives within us. How many have heard that scripture verse before? Well, they're not talking about Jesus. Okay, they're talking about the divine nature of God. You're holy. None of us hardly believe that. We still believe we're sinners. See, this is the big conflict. This is the problem where we have the stronghold that is not allowing us to grow, is not allowing us to move on. There's a lie, and the lie says we're all sinners. We're not all sinners. We are. This is where it gets really weird. We are sinners until we believe in a light that is inside of us. That's simple. And then when we believe in the light that is in us, we are no longer in sin. Then sin can still come back when we don't obey the light that is in us. And how we obey the light is our hearts need to be in worship to God. We need to always look at God. We have to lean on God. We have to embrace God. We have to embrace Him and always have that reverence of God. When we have that reverence of God, that allows us to let that light inside of us grow. When we listen to God, we follow His commandments that are written on our heart, and that keeps us without sin. It's when we hear that still small voice and we continue to do what we want to do because it feels good. Then it becomes sin. It bursts and becomes sin. I love the ones where they aren't really listening to the conviction and then they say, well, God told me. God said. Oh, I love them. I just want to go and puke. I just want to go over there and go, bleh, and just throw right up. And then say, okay, all right. It says here, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he who I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fulfillment we all received, and grace for grace. So it was because of his life, the fulfillment of his life, how he demonstrated his life, how much he demonstrated and loved the Father, how much he longed to be obedient. I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what the Father tells me to do. He had an image of the glory. He had an image of the divine nature of God. He didn't do anything wrong, even though in the eyes of people he did wrong. But in the eyes of God, he didn't do no wrong. Why? Because he obeyed the conviction of his heart. He walked in that conviction, and in the eyes of God, he did no wrong. But in the eyes of people, he did a lot of wrong. So much that he threw him on the cross and killed him. But that was still the will of God. That was still God putting him on the cross to show a sign, a wonder, and a miracle. God was showing the world that didn't understand. And because he was proclaiming, listen, I'm going to be the Lamb. I'm coming and I'm the Lamb. I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to shed my blood for your sins. So wake up. Because they couldn't comprehend the fact that there was no more sin. So he's like, okay, well, if you don't want to believe that, I'm going to lay my life down and all my blood's going to be shed. And then when I die, I'm going to be resurrected in a power of a Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to tell you right now, that's another sign and a wonder and a miracle for us to see so that we can begin to believe that that same Spirit dwells inside of you. That same Spirit, the same one that raised Christ from the dead, dwells inside of you. How many have heard that verse before? So the whole time, God was using Jesus as a sign, a wonder, and a miracle for us to know the glory, to understand the glory that was set before us so that we could be an image of Him and His glory so that we too can receive the light. And that light can come into us, and then when that light comes into us, then we can go ahead and sacrifice the flesh and walk in that place where it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. And then we can go ahead and now be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. How many people are beginning to understand? If we don't move beyond and allow these truths to come in, we will never enter that place of being a true worshiper that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. God desires for us to worship Him and Him only. And there's a hard place, especially in this hour. And I can understand, because if we weren't born in the glory, if we weren't put into the realm of glory, it's very hard to receive the revelation of the glory. And the reason why I'm saying it is because it's no different than when Jesus came. It was very hard for the church to begin to receive what He was saying. The church could not receive because they were not born in the glory. And what was going on was they were denying the word that was given. They were denying it. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear the fact. And even John the Baptist, who was brought as a witness, said to Jesus, "Are you really the Messiah?" You know, and he said, "Well, go back and tell them about all the signs and wonders and miracles that, you know, God did through me, so that you can begin to, if you don't believe me, believe the signs." Because God is showing us through signs. I believe when you grab hold of this truth and you begin to minister this, you're going to be a sign too. You're going to be a sign. God is looking for those who are willing to be a sign, a wonder, and a miracle. Because those signs, wonders, and miracles are really for the unbelievers. It's not for the believers. And so God is calling you to come to this revelation, come to the glory, so that glory can manifest through you and become a sign, a wonder, and a miracle for today. You know, we have a generation that is dying. We have a generation that the powers and the principalities and the darkness of this world is gripping them, because God is pouring out this truth, this revelation. It's time that the eyes of the church are opened up and they begin to see the glory of God. But I'm going to tell you right now, when they see the glory of God and all of them are beginning to start understanding who they are and they receive the light of God and they begin to grab hold of salvation and come out of sin, I'm going to tell you right now, the enemy, the principality, the darkness, the wickedness in high places are screaming right now. They're looking to kill the glory of God. And this generation that is coming in, I call it the millennium generation, our children are coming in. They are glory children. They have a seed of revelational knowledge of the glory of God that is in them. You know who can't get the realm of glory? You, me, you. Those that are not born in that generation are hard-headed in the realm of glory. They can't get it. Their eyes are blind. Their ears are shut off. I thank God that I was born in the glory. My eyes opened up. My ears opened up. I understand the glory for a sign, a wonder, and a miracle for the generation of glory to come. And now I feel that that glory, that generation is here. It's our children. And darkness wants to rob them. They want to take them. They want to kill them because they don't want the knowledge of the glory to come. Because when they receive the knowledge, I'm going to tell you right now, because the seed is in there and the eyes God is calling to open up, they are children that are born in glory. It's just a matter of watering it. It's not, I don't have to convince them. The witness of the glory of God is already in them. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus, the man, stinks to the children that are in glory. It stinks. It's religion to them. It stinks. And God is saying, it's bitter. Because the witness, I put the witness in them. It's a generation of a harvest that is coming. And He says, I put the witness of the glory in them. And if And if you give them anything other than the witness that is in them, it will be bitter and they will spew it out of their mouth. So you can preach to them all day long about the old manna that came 2,000 years ago and they will never come to salvation. How many people are beginning to understand what I'm saying? Listen, it's not me. It's the hour. It's no different when God said, I'm going to make it rain, and you better build an ark, because the rains are going to come. And if you don't have your ark built, I'm sorry, the rains are still coming, and it's going to create a flood. Well, God is pouring out his Spirit. How do you think his Spirit is being poured out? It is being poured out in seeds. Seeds of righteousness, I call it. Seeds of righteousness in the flesh of children that are coming into this generation, and it is called by God, and we are to be ones that will water that seed. But the water can't be bitter. It has to be fresh. And I hope and pray that the generation that has ears to hear hears what I'm saying, because they are the ones to be called to water the seed. I understand what it is to be a worker of iniquity. But Lord, Lord, I did all these things. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you, because you know what? I told you to build an ark, and I told you the waters were going to be poured out, and you never prepared. You were a worker of the old manna when I asked you to bring the new manna. You worker of iniquity. You didn't hear what I had to say. You didn't hear and hearken the Spirit of God that was pouring out His word to get us to change the way we think, so that we can come into a place of repentance, to be endured with power. The harvest is not for you, those that are of age. The harvest is for the millennium age. That's the only word I can call it for. It's for those that have been planted the seed of glory. And we are like John the Baptist, who understood the revelation of the glory, saying, well, I may not be that glory, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's coming. Now, I will say, and I hope there are others here to witness, and I know Pastor Tim, and I know Pastor Sam, and I know Pastor Kirk, we were born in the realm of glory. And I'm going to tell you right now, I was the first that was born in glory, and I thank God that through maybe the laying on of hands or whatever it was, but his Spirit was poured out on those three men, and they were able to receive the knowledge of what is being said, and they have a foundation of what is being said, and their eyes are opened up, and I am a witness of that. And I hope that there are others who are called, who, of course, darkness wants to steal, rob, and destroy because of the power that was given to you. I believe all of us have been given the opportunity. If those over the web or a recorded message hears this voice and hearkens to this voice, one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. I say it's prepare ye the way of the second coming of Christ. How many of us are beginning to grab what I'm saying here? I hope. That's all I can say is I hope. We got a verse?
I have a definition.
A definition.
Mm-hmm. Definition of a forerunner is someone or something that comes before another. Sign of something that is going to happen.
And that's us.
That's it. We see words that were given to us. We're thinking we're part of this. But it's sitting well in my spirit. I'm sure it's sitting well in Sam's and Tim's. We're forerunners of something that's going to happen. If we see it, praise God. If we don't see it, praise God. Jim's speaking about now.
It takes away all sin.
Amen.
You know how many people are asking for sorry? You know how many people are confessing their sins? You know how many people are asking for forgiveness? Oh, Lord, please forgive my sins. No longer. It's done. It's time to rise up. Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of God is around us. And we need to embrace the realm of glory. Listen, I'm all about saving souls. I'm all about saving souls for this generation to come into the truth, because I would hate to be that one that says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I'd hate to be the one standing there hearing those words to me. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Why? Because I was stuck in the old manna. I was putting in a place where I was not moving on beyond sin. God is saying that I want you to rise up above it. I don't count your sins against you. Did we ever forget that verse? I don't impute these sins against you anymore. You know, God speaks loud in this Bible. Very, very loud. And the words that I speak are clear. It's a matter of us having ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And what is closing our ears is a lot to do with flesh. And when our flesh dies, revelation, knowledge of Christ reigns. Paul says, I desire to know you the more. I count everything I know as dung so that I know you the more. There was a part where he says, I die daily. What's he dying to? He's dying to the flesh so that Christ can rule and reign within him. He's looking for that place of a ruling, reigning of Christ. You know, some people might think, well, I got Christ and yes, he rules in my life. Does he really? To what measure? To what level? Now, I don't want to ask you to get all righteous and holy on me. I'm just asking you to put God first and cast down the things that we can cast down, which is worry, fear, anxiety, where we can put trust back into our heart. Little baby. It's okay. Little baby can cry. I don't mind. I probably woke him up. He's saying, listen to what he's saying. Listen. I'm about saving souls. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a soul winner. And you know where my heart really cries out? I can care less about this generation. Because it's going to be real hard for them to understand what is being said. No different than Jesus. He didn't care about that generation. He really didn't. He cared about the new generation that was coming in. That's who I care about. I care about your children. I care about for them to grab hold of the torch and follow on with the word, to carry over so that others will be saved. You're the one I care about. You're the one. Yes, you, there with the broken hand. I care about you because the seed of this glory is inside of you. There's a reason why. You have a character that is not like the old. There's a reason. I care about you and you and you. I care about that little Nathan guy. I hope for your salvation. I hope for your salvation. I hope for your salvation. I hope. But the one where I'm crying for is for that generation. I believe you're the millennium year, the seed of righteousness. How's Jesus taste in your mouth? Is it bitter? I'm going to tell you right now, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. It's because God has planted move on beyond sin. These children that are growing up right now, they don't, everything is good. Everything is good. In their eyes, everything is good. There is no sin in their eyes. They're not seeing it. They're coming into a realm of purity. There is so much more I have to say. I didn't even get close to where I wanted to be. But I have to end because I got the light. And they're like, Jim, it's too much. Jim, can you come and play that song real quick? Or are we out of time? Okay. I want to ask the worship team if they come up. And they're going to play a song. And this song is Let Christ Reign in Me, right? Is that the title of it? Christ in Me. And I want us to grab hold of this song that they're going to begin to sing. And as they're singing, I'm going to begin to pray. I'm literally going to begin to pray. And I hope and pray that the generation that hears me, I hope you and you and you and you three up there and Nathan, and I hope that your heart is just like